Shop with Rakuten and you'll get it. What's it? It's the best deal. Great cashback rates and more savings on your shopping. So join Rakuten and start getting cashback at a variety of brands like Marks & Spencer, Mango and Selfridges. You can even shop the sales and still get cashback. Just start your shopping with Rakuten to save money at over 500 brands. Join for free at rakuten.co.uk or get the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. This is part two of the recap. If you missed part one, go check out your podcast feed. It's right there. And without further ado, let's get right back into the recap.
So let's go over to Beverly Hills. Gretchen is looking for her phone. It's like, Siri, where are you at, bitch? Where you at?
Gretchers! Where's your phone?
I can't find it. I'm looking everywhere. It's someone. Oh, hey, I found it.
So they're like saying, you know, Emily's like, I need to hear the song. I'm not going to let her off the hook. This is what happens at sleepovers. You drink Fireball and then you talk shit about your nemesis. I was like, I don't remember drinking Fireball when I was 11 years old at my friend's sleepover, but that's fine.
Well, we all grow up differently, I guess. So then Gretchen FaceTimes Slade, who is so excited. He's like got his ring light out. He's like got like bronzer. He's like ready to go. He did his full like face contouring. He's like, hello. He's holding a microphone. He's like, hello, it's me, Slade. Just another casual night at home. What can I do for you, ladies? Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. And so Emily's like, well, it has come to my attention that there's maybe an audio recording of Tamara singing in a studio. And he goes, oh. What? Well, the story goes, this was her trying to record a song, and then the two of them started messing around, and then they forgot they were recording, so the audio of their extracurriculars is on there, too. Isn't that hilarious? What? It's a song of them having sex? Oh.
Well, that's what I've been told. I'm not really, you know, I wouldn't know. Wait, you said you had the audio. Just
no, I said I heard the audio of her in the studio trying to sing. Did you hear the other audio, Slade?
He's like, yeah, it was played for me. No, we wanted to hear her sing. I don't care about the other stuff. I really don't. That's just so, it's just so, it's just so poor. So poor.
If I wanted to hear a possum groaning, I would just tune into some of Wendy Malick's acting choices. So Emily is like, Slade, I mean, he literally like salivates at the mouth when he gets to talk about Tamara. I mean, Shane would have just told me, shut the fuck about Tamara and move on. Then again, he says that about really anything I say. So Slade just like feeds it. He feeds it and feeds it and feeds it and feeds it.
Yeah. Yeah, Slade's gross. And so now, of course, they don't have the recording, you know, and then Slade tells us when it comes to Tamara, I'm not really interested in, you know, sharing dirt on Tamara, but I am interested in telling the truth. Oh, yeah. So, Slade,
thank you
real
for being
truth
a truth
warrior
in this
there.
Moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for this. So
bastion of honesty, Slade Smiley, ladies and gentlemen, you slime bag, get the fuck out of here and take Gretchers with you.
So Gretchen says, I have a recording of Tamara singing, and then it becomes, oh, I don't have it. Slade has it. And then it becomes, yeah, I have a recording of her singing, and then they forget the mic is on, so then they start having sex. You can hear the sex, and it's like, oh, but actually I don't have that. It was just played for me, and oh, we don't have that audio, but we have audio of her singing, but then we still don't even hear the singing audio. So, it's hard to, just saying, you know, when we've already seen you say, I went to the hospital, I didn't go to the hospital. And now this story is rapidly changing while we're hearing it. We're really supposed to believe that Katie is just like the one who is totally fallible in this entire stupid situation earlier this season. I don't think so, is what I'm trying to say. I don't think.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's hypocrisy, these people. But he didn't say he actually has a recording, right, of the song?
I don't know. At that point, let's see.
I'm just, you guys, I'm just like interested in the truth. Okay.
Gretchen said that they had a recording. Well, she just say this right in here somewhere in the middle. Now I'm going.
She said she has the recording of Tamara, but then she said, no, Slade has a recording. Then Slade says, no, I don't have the recording, but I heard it. And they were fucking in the recording.
And Gretchen says, no, I said I heard the audio of her in the studio trying to sing the song. So now it's like, do you have it? Do you not have it? Because
liar.
You are lying.
Okay, you are a liar. You are a liar. Yeah, lie. So then Emily's like, okay, well, if you're not going to show us the song, Slade, we're going to go back to our slumber party. Bye, loser. So they hang up on him, and Heather's like, let's go do what girls do. Hang out in our beds. I could really use the comfort of mosquito netting surrounding me right about now.
Yeah.
And Gretchen's like, you guys can't go back to Tamara and tell her this because this is going to be a problem. Oh, no.
Too late. Like, too late.
You're with Emily Simpson, okay?
So, and also, you just brought it up on camera and called Slade on. Like, what do you think is going to happen? So now she's going to try and turn it.
I don't want the girls to say anything about the extracurricular activity because that's not why I called Slade. I called him because I wanted to hear the footage of Tamara in the studio sounding like a drowned rat.
So, not to beat a dead horse, but you know what? Sometimes you just got to beat a dead horse. It's dead, right? Who cares? But the... So now...
How else you get glue?
So, Gretchen wants us to believe that when Katie says that there's a cover-up, that Gretchen called and said, don't talk about this shit. Don't talk about this... What I said at Javier's or whatever... Like, we're just going to deny. Don't say that I said this on camera. And then when Katie says, she said this and told me to say this. And Gretchen goes, what? That's crazy. I never said don't say this. And yet now, literally two episodes later, Gretchen is dropping some bombs and then saying, don't tell anyone. And now we're supposed to like not believe Katie on this.
Yep.
I'm sorry, Gretchen.
Literally doing the exact same thing again. Covering up. Another cover up.
Yes, I actually controversially am greatly enjoying Gretchen's return this season, but she's full of shit. She's full of total shit.
Yeah, she's a liar. So back in Temecula, it's pool time. Gina lights her joint and she's like,
I'm what they like to call a California super. And like, I enjoy a little THC. Okay.
So, you know, they're going to get Shannon to, smoke. And it's like, I can't. I have a cough. Okay. Since 2008. So I can't do that.
A 2008 cough.
She's like,
she's not like Doc Holliday. Like, does she have, what does she have? Like a black lung? Like, come on.
I did go to a barbecue once and they were using a coal barbecue. I am afraid that I may have developed some black lung from that barbecue. So please don't joke about that. It's very serious. 2008 was a tough year. Tough year for all of us.
Well, I'm going to say this, and I hope you don't take offense to this, Shannon, but like, I like you. I really do. And I worry about you because like Matt just had a heart attack and it freaked me out. And like, I worry about you, Shannon. She goes, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for your lukewarm, passive aggressive care, but I'm fine.
Well, I'm so glad that someone had to almost drop dead before you had some shred of concern about me, but it makes you feel any better. I eat salmon regularly, occasionally stuffed with cream cheese, and my heart may be broken, but it is good. So don't worry about me.
Tamara, who just a couple of weeks ago got so wasted on booze and benzos that she had a breakdown and ran away and quit, now says,
I think Gina's concerns are the same concerns that I've had. And it's Shannon's drinking. It just takes a toll on your body. Poor Shannon.
Please be quiet. We've seen you wasted and making a fool out of yourself on this show for over a decade, ma'am.
I believe the term is not wasted. I believe the term is sloshed.
That so, is the pot back. Calling the kettle one black, and I will not stand for it.
So you think you were going to call her and she's not going to answer someday? You think that's what's going to happen? He was like, no, it's just like, you know, it's like over 40 now. I'm like very aware that you could have serious health things that happen to you. It's just like freaky. Like, I don't like that. It's weird. I feel bad.
Well, inside, goes, I'm 26. Well, 28. Okay, I turned 28 inside. Okay, I admit it. My inside is 28. Are you happy?
Well, I'm 28 on the inside, but I'm a dignified and classy inside 28, unlike that slutty outside 28 on the beach. So just like, okay, all right. You know, the girls, yeah. you know, her girls are out of the house and she's like being by herself. And I just like truly believe that it's like way easier to make bad decisions when you're alone. That's all.
I'm like, well, yes, based on your fashion sense, I would agree. You can make some really bad decisions when you're alone.
But based on the lack of improvement in your fashion sense and the fact that we've seen Matt watching you pack, I would say your decisions don't get much better with a partner. So,
and also I would say based on all the word art in your home, it seems like you can make bad decisions even when you're out in public around people in Marshalls.
Well, I'm sitting at home with my dog. I'm watching news. I'm doing my Sudoku and I'm timing myself at every single one and I'm really getting good. So I don't bring up this kind of stuff because I have a very good life right now. It's very good. I'm very good at timed Sudoku.
Yes, I do my daily puzzle from, Lonely People's Quarterly. They have an app and they release a daily Sudoku while you wait for the next edition of Lonely People's Quarterly. Why do they release it only once every 3 months?
I've really been into a new game called Curdle, where every day you try and find five different kinds of milk to jot down. I don't know.
Yeah. I like to play a game called Spelling Bean. It's not Spelling Bee. It's Spelling Bin. B-E-E-N, as in everything's past tense for you now. You're a has-been and you spell things and you only find words that are in the past tense.
So back in Beverly Hills.
A word that's very popular is left, divorced, and used to be.
Betrayed.
Just one big compound word.
Yeah.
Betrayed.
Cheated on, which is weird because that's two words, but they accept it.
So back in Bev Hills, it's time for bed. And they all led the slumber parties. And Gretchen's like,
oh my God, legit? This is my favorite slumber party.
Stop talking, Gretchen. I'm trying to sleep.
But it's my favorite slumber party. I love you, girls.
Good night, John Boy. Shut up.
Emily, I love you. Good night, Emily.
Shut the fuck up, Gretchen.
Good night. Does anyone want me to sing them to sleep? You're never gonna break me. You're never gonna break me. Oh, yeah.
It's like a mashup. She should do a mashup with Tamara. Okay.
Yeah, she really should.
So, Temecula, it's time to wake up. And Shannon is stressing out because she's making something from a recipe and trying to turn on ovens and play with all of her bakeware. And she's just stressing out going over all of her stuff. And Tamara's like,
need help cooking?
And she's like, well, I
may have a pot for you to stir. Yeah, okay. Don't bother me. I'm very, very busy.
I am making what everyone wants when they wake up. Cauliflower rice hash browns. So does anyone want some non-potato hash browns made of cauliflower? That's what everyone wants in the breakfast for breakfast, right?
Hope we're down for some watery hash browns.
So Tamara's like,
she's like, sup, bitch? Like, how's your new house, Shannon? Are you ever going to invite me over? Do I ever get to see Archie ever again? Tell me about the house. Is it a hot house? Can I handle a hot person like me, Shannon? She's like, okay, I just have to focus on the cauliflower rice hash browns. Because if you don't do it right, they crumble apart, sort of like my marriages.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to concentrate. I've got one cup of blonde and another cup of beach and another cup of... I've just left you for a dumb blonde whore on the beach. God damn it, I hate hash browns.
Yeah, I used to tell David, why don't we hash it out? And he said, why don't you make me a hash brown? And I loved when he would say that. Gotta get back to the hash browns.
So is that a no? You don't like your hair? Not inviting me over? What are you saying? I'm saying I'm trying to concentrate on there's five doors down from my other place. Okay, now I need more sugar. Could you look in the thing and see if you see sugar? Just see if you see sugar, Tamara.
Okay, it's very important. Listen, Please don't distract me. I'm trying to make some sugary cauliflower. Can you please not distract me? This is going to be a delicious, sweet cauliflower breakfast.
It's so great, man. Hey, what's your favorite thing about me? My favorite thing about you is your hair, Shannon. I love your hair, Shannon.
Okay, you know what? I have a job to do. I have to serve these women disgusting little hash browns, and she is distracting me.
I would love that you smelled like jar olives. You smell like a jar of olives. Hey, you should have your own candle that smells like a jar of olives, Shannon.
Tamara's like, you're an Aries. You're just like, oh, you can't even talk about something else.
You know what's so funny? I was just talking to my friend Neil about how, like, there's certain zodiac signs that people always, like, announce that they are. People are always like, oh, it's Leo season. I'm a Virgo. No offense. I mean, I'm a Sag. People say Sag. I'm a Sag. But people are like certain ones people are always saying. I feel like I never hear people say, oh, I'm an Aries. Aries season has started, everyone. Aries. I was like, I even forgot Aries was part of the, I was at the party. I didn't even remember Aries was a zodiac sign. So just so funny that we mentioned that 2 days ago. And then now here comes Eddie.
There we go.
An Aries.
An
of
Aries.
Course he's an Aries.
And so now what we know about Aries is that they just want Shannon to shut the fuck. I mean, they just want Tamara to shut the fuck up in the kitchen. That's like all any Aries wants. It's in all of their horoscopes.
Yeah. That's a really uninteresting story I told about Aries right now. I'm glad everyone enjoyed it. So Jen.
No, it's actually true. I don't really hear people say that. Like, oh my God, what an Aries. Am I right? Like with me, people are like, oh, you're a Virgo. Shocker, Ronnie. Yeah, of course you're a fucking Virgo.
People always
talk
about
anal and judgmental. And, you know, so I'm used to that. People just being, oh, you're such a Virgo. But yeah, you're right. You never really do hear it about Aries people.
No one does like a shtick about Aries. People do about Virgo. They even do it about Geminis, Leos, maybe Sag. I don't know if people do it about Sagittarius. People do it about maybe Libras.
Well, maybe people try to say things about Aries and Aries people are just like, please be quiet. I'm trying to concentrate. So nothing really ever gains traction, you know?
Like, is Aries even a sign? I don't even know what Aries is. So,
yeah.
Sorry, there'd be so many Aries people that'll be like,
how dare you?
Please do not erase us. do not erase us.
This is Aries erasure. How dare you? So, Shannon's like, I've got a job to do. I'm trying to get breakfast on the table. Oh, yay, Aries. Aries face. You know what? Tamara's making an effort, but it's really like a guy trying to hit on a girl, and she's just not interested. Oh, my God, Shannon, just stop. Stop, Shannon. I mean, stop, Tamara. It's embarrassing.
Hey, guys, what do you guys think the girls are doing at the sleepover? And Gina's like, oh, probably getting out of their silk pajamas. And Jen goes, yeah. Somebody else is definitely cooking. And Gina's like, yeah, I don't know how long Emily's going to endure fancy pants before she fucking blows. And then we cut to the sleepover. It's the morning. They're waking up. And there's not just a private chef. There's like a private chef and a sous chef in the kitchen making eggs. And they have little menus. This is like the most unfun sleepover in the history of sleepovers. I'm sorry. Like, this is like, I understand that it's like luxury. And like, if this were the Orphan movie, like this is what you expect in the Orphan movie, which is like, yeah, a kid wakes up and there's a private chef and a butler who's very like dismissive, but warm and also going to guide them along. And like all these like, oh, Master Johnson, wake up and da da da. It's like, but this is like in real life, this is just patently ridiculous.
Yeah. There's like a special person to put a stick up your butt, you know? It's like,
yeah,
really, it's like, hello, welcome to high tea. It's a fucking egg, Heather. Okay. We get it. You're rich. You're rich, Heather. Okay.
Yeah. And this is not even me being like, oh my God, she's so rich. How obnoxious. It's more just like, I just don't think the vibe, the spirit of a sleepover is that you then bring in a chef and have menus in the morning. I think it's that you go ahead and you make some shitty eggs, you know, and it's like, I feel like growing up, it's like, yeah, or like mom would come in and make some eggs or something like that. Or like you'd like hunt around, but like having a fruit spread and little pastries. Heather, you just need to do a better sleepover. It needs to be better. Sorry.
Yeah. So Gretchen's like,
hey, this looks so good. Is there any place to get a Starbucks around here?
And the chef's like, we have coffee service that will be happening for brunch.
Unfortunately, I do not have my own currency. You were saying Starbucks? No, I don't have my own dollars. Starbucks.
Yeah, tie me over. Tie me over with something.
Oh my God, these people. So she's like,
I'm feeling a little hungover, not gonna lie. I hope I don't get in trouble. Gosh, I do not let loose at this age. Although I have been to the Goat Hill Tavern.
And we see a flashback to Emily being like,
y'all see, we're like real Midwest. We drink at taverns. Oh, I've got a piece of pizza in my purse.
Gretchen patting herself on the back for going to the Abbey and like a dive bar at 6 p.m. at night in both cases is like the most hilarious thing in the world. Like, you are not letting loose, ma'am. I hate to break it to you. And also the way she like, when she mentioned the Abbey and she like ran her tongue like through her lip, she's like, she did like this look. I was like, bleh. I was like, am I watching V all of a sudden? This was too much. This like, lizard tongue thing that she did.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Back in Temecula, Shanna's like, oh God, I just need to concentrate. Could you please beat these egg whites until they're stiff? Please.
Okay. I'm just worried you're going to have a heart attack and die, Shannon. I mean, come on, calm down. Okay, it's a little too fluffy. So fluffy that you're going to die? Are you dying? Shannon might be dying, you guys. I'm so worried about Shannon.
You over whipped the egg whites. You did it. You ruined it. And now he's going to leave you. You talking about nothing. I'm fine. I love being alone, and I definitely do not talk to my egg whites in the morning. I don't do that. Okay, let's get these egg whites going. All right. So everyone, I hope you're all excited for a delicious breakfast of sweet cauliflower, rice, hash browns, and egg whites. Okay, is everyone ready for this?
Fun times in Temecula.
Wow, you really whipped this stiff, Gina. She goes, yeah, I have that habit. Travis is an easy target, though. What
do you mean Travis is an easy target? He's stiff? He's always stiff?
Yeah, because like everything I do makes him really stiff. Yeah, and it's like fun, you know, because me and Travis.
Please do not make me think of the tiny baby thumb sticking out of that fupa. I did not come here for this.
No, I did. I don't want it.
No,
I don't know why Gina always
in my head.
I don't know if I want. I don't know why Gina insists on giving us details about Travis. It's just that like the details themselves are boring. You know, it's just I don't need it. So Jen's like, "Well, I have a question. Do you think you and Travis will ever get married?" It's like, "Well, you know, probably, maybe. I don't know. Like waiting for Bravo to give us like our own special, you know, and like it's going to be called I Feel Bad That I'm Not Married Yet." But like unfortunately, like the offer hasn't really come through yet. So, it's just like a lot of instability because of his circumstances, you know.
Yeah, like the fact that he's not fucking divorced, maybe. Like, hello. Aren't they still not divorced? Like, why are they talking?
Maybe
like
that.
I just like have to be ready to be in the right, please. Yeah, and he's still married.
Hello.
Yeah, well, it's like Shannon stacking shots on for lunch. You have a lot on your plate, you know.
Shannon, you know you've got a lot on your glass. We've got a lot on the plate, but Shannon's got a lot on her liver, so.
It's a lot. Okay, yeah, we just like wait to see what's gonna happen next. And like, you know, like I'm just like not focused on things like a wedding because it's like it always seems so unattainable because like I know that's a priority and like that's always.
I hate to break it to Gina and to Bravo, but literally no one cares if these two get married. Like this is not top of mind. This is not a concern. There's no curiosity around it. There's no mystery. No one's wondering when are Luke and Laura going to tie the knot? Like this is, we don't need to spend our time on this. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So she's saying that he has a court date and he's trying to get full custody of the kids and he's exhausted and I feel bad and it takes a lot out of you, you know? So then, she says,
when we say this scene goes on for 5 minutes. It goes on for 5 minutes of her talking
literally
about the situation.
Do not give Gina lines. Like why Gina? I feel myself deflating reading the lines back. I'm like, oh God, please make it stop.
Yeah. He's been through so much trauma. Yeah. I'm like, I've never seen anything like it in my life. You know, he's like, he's so into his children and it's like really hurting my feelings.
Please fast forward. Okay. Let's go back to Beverly Hills. So the chef is like, ladies, and I use that term loosely, we've got brunch for you. All the pastries are warmed. Okay, they're already going into your purse.
Yeah, that's sort of my thing.
So he takes orders, and Emily's like, can I have a couple eggs over hard? And the guy's like,
you can do that, right?
He's like, well, you want it like really cooked like that?
You think I'm crazy?
He's like, well, I would never serve that, but you know,
fine. He just goes, I would never serve that.
It's like, yeah, I would never serve that to anybody in my entire career. He's saying,
yo, make them however you want. Okay. Just make them travelable in a purse.
Ladies, we have a chef here. Get your eggs the way you want them, okay? He's just so happy he can see daylight because he goes back into his cell after this.
Can you do poached eggs?
It's like, oh my God, you guys are just being a pain in the ass to be a pain in the ass.
Well, I think this was a fair request because it's breakfast. It's fancy breakfast. And if you're doing fancy breakfast, you have to imagine there's going to be a poached egg request. And then the chef seems shocked. He's like, I can't. I'm like, sir, eggs over hard. Yeah, that's a surprise. But the poached egg, I think he should have anticipated that a little bit. In fact, I think he should have had some already made.
I think he's just grossed out by them. He's like, you're poor. You're all poor. Like, can I just put some powdered eggs and whisk them through to you, please? Like, you people have no taste. You have no taste.
But also you have to imagine they're each having one egg, right? Like one egg over hard. One egg poached, probably maybe two. Heather's going to have an omelet. They hired a whole ass private chef to cook basically four eggs.
Yeah, and put store-bought croissants on a tray. And to
plate some croissants.
Yeah.
I like it well done.
He's like, oh, well done. Okay, yes, you've got it. Okay, because that's not a crazy request. Over hard is, but well done eggs. Not crazy at all. Okay. So she's like, hello, Terry's here, everybody. It's
the partner that I have lots of sexy time in our secret sexy time penthouse. The incredibly sexy hunk, Terry Dubrow. Hello, Terry.
Terry. And he's like, hey, everyone, I've never slept so much in my life. He's coming in like he's hosting the match game. He's like, all right, we asked 100 people. We said, My wife has such fancy sleepovers. How fancy are they? She says that when you go to sleep a lady and you wake up as a blank, fill it all in. All right, everyone, you're at Terry DeBro's match game.
This is why he's on television. All right, Heather, sit down. Terry, sit down and be wacky. You know, everyone, Terry would love a sleep divorce. Wait, what does that mean?
It means you sleep in another room. She's like,
oh, yeah, that's what's happening right now for Slade and I. He just snores so much, I make him sleep on the couch.
Do you guys ever think about getting married? Sorry, Gina asked me that. They asked her that, so I want to ask you that.
And she goes,
you know, it's just like, I never had an issue with, like, wanting to get married. So, like, yeah, I would love to.
Well, I remember years ago, I mean, this was so long ago. I think this was when you were claiming that a casting producer wanted you to be in Malibu Country, which, of course, the role went to me eventually. But it was a hilarious thing that you tried to even attempt to be an actress like I do. I mean, last time I checked, your IMDb did not have a pilot for CBS that was based around you. Anyway, I remember years ago when we first talked about it, you were worried about financially getting
married.
Were
we talking about it in my trailer? I don't think that you ever got to come into that. Were we talking about that while I was having coffee with Reba McEntire? No? Yeah. God, where was that? Was it craft services?
Oh, maybe I'm confusing it with when I was on Hot in Cleveland and I was talking with Betty White and she said that that if times were different, she would have liked me to have played Dorothy on Golden Girls. It's hard to remember.
Now, I don't remember if you were there, but I do remember Betty White suggesting I get you spayed. So was it then or?
Oh, so that's where it all happened. She said you need to get spayed, but you heard I need to get slayed. And then here we are.
So she's like, yeah, so you were worried about finances. And she goes, oh, yes. And Gretchen is very uncomfortable with this whole line of questioning, by the way. She, like, her face automatically falls and she's very suspicious because she did this for a long time and she knows she's about to get pummeled, you know? So first they get you over for girls' night and then they're going to pummel you in the morning. So she's like, yeah. And we see a flashback of 2012 when she's saying,
because Slade is trying to get caught up on some of the back dip and trying to get things resolved in court. I don't think that we should get married.
Oh, really? What was he trying to resolve in court? What back debt was that, Gretchen? Was it child support?
Dun, dun, dun. So Heather goes, well, so now that you feel like that's all handled, you're on the road to being wealthy someday, so maybe you should get married.
And she's like, well, it's not that it's even that it's all handled. I just feel like I've been with him for like 16 years and I know who he is and I just feel more confident, you know?
And she basically says that, like, you know, like, we're basically husband and wife. I mean, we actually did a ceremony with an ordained pastor, but it's just like, you know, paper doesn't make us married or not. In God's eyes, in our eyes, we're married. I mean, who even needs laws at this point about who can marry who, right? Which is why we should maybe take some of them away. So anyway, the point is they're totally married.
Yeah. So you have everything financially separate?
Yeah. Are your bank accounts together? I mean, listen, two tinies don't make a large, but still.
And Gretchen's like,
no, we never done that. I have my own money and my home's in my name. And I've always been very strict about it. I never wanted a man to control me financially.
Okay, but you should have a man with some finance, right? I mean, it's your house, so you make the mortgage payment, or does he, like, pay rent?
No.
Okay. Well yeah. Does he contribute?
He lives there too, right? How do you decide who pays for stuff? For instance, when the maid is done cleaning for the morning, who is the one who pays her the $15 for it? I'm just curious.
Well, I mean, it comes out of my account.
Oh, does he pay for anything?
This is kind of weird questioning, you guys.
Okay, so basically, she's like really cagey about this. So is what's going on here, and this really is a question because I don't know, that Slade owed so much money in back child, you know, the reports or whatever we looked up from People magazine last week or the week before says something like 150 something grand that he owed in back child support, right? Something like that. So is he, are they not getting married so that she's not liable? Like, they can't come after her for that debt as his partner?
Maybe. Maybe.
And that's why she's being so cagey. Oh, it's just all so
gross. I don't know. I mean, like, it's like, if this were real life, these are definitely like awkward questions to be asking a friend. Like I would never ask, like, who pays for what in a relationship. But since it's reality TV. So of course we're going to ask these nosy ass questions. So I understand on one level why you're just like a little cagey to like be talking about what like your husband pays for or doesn't pay for, especially on TV. But the truth is there's a lot. I don't know why she just doesn't say like, yeah, I mean, like, you know, I pay for some things, he pays for other things. It's like not really, it's really not that deep, you know, but like the fact that she's like,
no, huh? What? Weird.
And, that's where it's like, what is going on here? And Heather's like, well, Gretchen and Slade's financial situation is really none of my business, but it just never has made sense to me. That's why when Gretchen proposed to Slade, we all thought it was bullshit. I guess it's just weird. You know, when you see two poor people trying to figure out finances, you think, what's even the point? Am I right? If you don't both have $45 million to your name, is it really even interesting at that point?
So why are they not legally wed? And why does she pay for everything and refuse to put anything in his name? I don't know. So she's like, it's just fascinating to us because you're so poor, you know? We just like to see how that stuff. And Terry's just like, oh, my God. I mean, look, we're one person. We have everything in the same pot over here. Right, Hev?
Question, Gretchen. If you were to, say, buy a box of Cheerios, Do you each pay for individual Cheerios or do you buy the box in total? I just want to know how it works.
Yeah, like as soon as I married Shane, we had a joint checking. Like everything was joint. I didn't sign a prenup.
Yeah, we never had that. We never had that.
Well, that's strange. I mean, what's the arrangement? Does he work? If he works, what is he paying? I mean, he's got a crooked penis. He has to have it worked on. Like, what is he contributing?
So Gretchen's like,
I need a nap after that coffee.
So Heather's like, by the way, have you ever had a chair massage before?
No.
Oh, I thought you had because you probably couldn't pay for the actual humans to do it for you. Anyway, just curious.
Okay, sit in this chair. Oh, sorry, there's still some human hair on here. Can we turn the electric function off? Alfredo has already been removed. Sorry. Smaller space here, so we've got to double up the electric chair and the massage chair. Don't worry, you'll be safe. Probably.
So then they're laughing about like last night and like, oh my God, that was so funny. Like,
you guys got me in trouble last night.
You got yourself in trouble, Gretchers.
What didn't you do except have a great time amongst girlfriends who are youthful and relatable?
Well, somebody asked something about a pop song.
She goes, that was you.
Emily's like, yeah. And then you were like, she had an affair with a guy from Nelson.
Gretchen fully entered all of this into evidence herself. She goes,
you guys, stop it. I don't know anything about that. What's even Nelson? It doesn't make any sense.
You told us.
No, Slade said something about it. I didn't say anything. I said nothing. Deny, deny, deny.
And Heather goes, Slade is your henchman. We get it.
I like that they just call her out. They have no problem just calling her out left and right.
But so, also they also don't seem to have a problem with her blatant lies. They're her face. Like, Gretchen is clearly changing her story. She's lying. And last time I checked, Emily went full nuclear on Katie for lying. And then here's Gretchen doing it. It's like, oh, classic Gretchers.
Yeah, when they just kick somebody off based on lies that Gretchen was telling and accuse that person of lying. They don't see anything crazy about any of this. So then Emily's like, you've completely taken this situation and you're making us the villains. I'm like,
well, we were having fun. It went further than I intended, but I don't want to be, I hope they aren't assholes and go running back to Tamara. It's going to cause conflict.
Oh, Gretchen, you know that they're going to do that. That's why you brought it up in the first place. Come on.
You can't be stupid and smart. You came onto the show. You were extremely savvy. You went right for Tamara. And you were like, you had all your ducks in a row. Like Gretchen was like, she came in, she was ready and she was playing the game. And now she's going to act like, oops. Oh my God. I said this thing. You guys can't bring it back to Tamara. And now it's going to be like, it wasn't my fault. You know, they coaxed it out of me. You know, she's going to play this whole game and it's all bullshit.
Yeah. They're being bad friends by trying to hurt a friendship. She's going to pull that.
You were giving information about Tamara willingly.
Yeah, and I shouldn't have. I regret it.
But you said Tamara's a horrible person because she accused you of having an affair and you had to spend all this money that you didn't, but you just accused her of having an affair. So how is that different?
She goes, well, I mean, it was on the internet. Isn't that what she said? I'm saying the same thing. It was on the internet. So is it not true if it's not on the internet? I mean, it's the same thing she did to me.
Wait, when was this on the internet?
What? Yeah, you None just of that announced
was-
it.
This was you. You said it. Don't try and make it sound like you just found this on the internet. Come on.
So you and Tamara are the same?
No, we're far from the same. It may look like we're the same person because I just give Tamara the same energy that she gives me.
And Emily is like, no, they're the same. Except that Gretchen uses more filters. Other than that, I can't tell them apart.
Well, that was a rough sleepover, girls. Please leave. Get the fuck out of my house. This is fine. Well, but I can only be here so long.
11:43 a.m., which means that our fun times have officially ended. So you will, one of the Alfredos will see you out, and I'm going to go back into my lair. Thank you.
If you're still here when the fumigator comes, it kind of destroys the point of having the fumigator. Please go. Take all of your rags with you. Thank you.
And I'll be taking back those personalized pajamas and returning them.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Back in the other place, they eat Shannon's brunch, and it looks good, shockingly. And they start talking about Archie and kids. And Shannon's like, well, when I leave, I always feel so guilty that I say, Archie, I'm sorry, I'll make it up to you. And I talk to him because there's no one else to talk to. I mean, Sudoku doesn't answer back either. That doesn't really stop me. Huh, I just say, Archie, I'm 26, and don't you tell anybody different on the inside.
You know, it's kind of funny because I always feel guilty when I leave him and I say, I'll make it up to you, Archie. And yet he never says to me that he'll make it up to me after I was framed for crashing into a house when I was just walking him because he insisted so much. He was like, woof, walk me at 1 a.m. And I said, fine, Archie. And has he made it up to me? No, but that's okay because I give everything. I try to make these relationships work.
Yeah. So then Jen is like, well, that worries me for you. You're home alone with Archie? I mean, last night you were saying, I think about you, I have concern. And I mean, you were talking about it in the hot tub, Gina. So what do you think? Gina's like, I'm concerned. Oh my God. You're really only worthy if you have a man in your life waiting for you at home. Yeah. I just don't understand these people without men. What do you do without a penis in your life? How do you live? Is she going to kill herself? Should we put her in a hospital? What's happening to Shannon? People can't be single. You people are so ridiculous. Shut up. She's going to survive this. The best thing for Shannon is to be single. Have you seen the men she picks? And what are you guys acting like? You've got fucking Ryan at home, and the other one's got Travis's fupa at home and his 19,000 children. So, you know, sometimes being single is a better choice.
Wait a second. I'd like to weigh in. You still got a therapy, Shannon? She's like, yes, I do, multiple times a week. Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I have a question. What takes you from I'm upset and pissed to like total derailment? I was like, geez, maybe it's Tamara constantly accusing her of being an alcoholic and trying to paint her as this awful person on TV time and time again, and then just deciding that she wants to be a good person all of a sudden.
And Gina's also doing the same thing. I mean, Gina's acting so innocent, like, oh, my God, I just care about you, Shannon. But she's totally concern trolling. I mean, how many times on this trip already has she been like, Shannon, I'm so worried about you. You know, your health, like you could die. Like, I'm really worried about you, Shannon. Come on. I know. They're all doing this. And then they're wondering why she's like slowly coming undone because you're undoing her.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we do talk about catastrophizing in my therapy. So, for instance, a good example would be like, for instance, yesterday, I was looking for a can of tuna fish to have for lunch and I couldn't find it. So I instead had 3 pints of ice cream and I thought, this is a catastrophe. So, you know, that's something that we discuss. Yes.
Well, I'm not really sure what that word means, but, you know, single people do like cats. So if that's what you're into, then you should totally do it.
Well, I grew up like, well, you know, you talk about like, you don't know what's going to happen every day. That's how I grew up. You know, I grew up in a bit of chaos and it was tumultuous. And my mom told us she was going to divorce my dad. And I was in college and I came home for the weekend and the process server didn't get to my dad by 5 p.m. on a Friday, which is the last time I'll hire a Marilyn Monroe impersonator to serve papers to my father.
Especially one that works with government hours. So he came home and we had a barbecue and we played tennis as a family. And I just felt so bad for my dad because we all knew that we had to fake it for my dad, my poor, sweet father. Yeah, but didn't you also say he had a drinking problem when you were growing up? And just
Shannon goes, you know what, Tamara,
I get that you're trying to be helpful, but my dad is fucking 96 years old and he's a different man. And there's just a certain level. Like, I don't want to hurt my father. Do you understand?
Why? Because Shannon is like, why the fuck are you bringing up this like sacred detail? I told you on camera right now, you're just going to like let everyone know that he's like, has a drinking problem, which of course, you know, like I totally get it. Although wasn't he like throwing back some martinis at the Marilyn Monroe lunch too? Although that's not really a problem, but like, it's just, Tamara was being totally shitty in that moment. And I love that Shannon just called her out right there. That was hilarious.
And Tamara's like, well, I'm sorry. I'm just not trying to hurt your father, you know? And if it makes you feel any better, drunk people don't feel as much. Look.
She pinches her under the arm.
See, they didn't even feel it. Tamara, you say things like that. He's not even like that anymore. How could you do that to my father?
Yeah, how dare you? Never in my wildest dreams did I think that the private conversation with Tamara Judge would ever be brought up on camera. How dare she?
I mean, we will still, I remember the first season that Shannon was on and Tamara just was evil to Shannon. So, so evil. And then Shannon the next year became friends with Tamara and we're like, what are you doing? This lady was terrible to you. Be careful of this lady. And she just kept on going in. And now all these years later, she's like,
well, I cannot believe it. I cannot believe that Tamara would use a personal detail against me on camera. Inconceivable.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to help you, Shannon. She goes, but that's not helping. That's not helping me. That's not helping me. Okay. Well, saying that she did have some struggles growing up. I mean, that's all I was saying. With an alcoholic father, and it's probably why you're drunk too, because it comes from a long line of alcoholics, so why are you even arguing about it? Even Gina said you'd be dead in your house with Archie eating off your face one day. Drunk as a skunk, dead as lead. That's what Gina said. You know, your dad even called you an alcoholic. Your dad called me drunk one time and said she's an alcoholic. I'm just trying to help you, Shannon.
You know what? I don't think that she said that to actually try to hurt you, Shannon, okay? Because I feel like Tamara's gently trying to connect with Shannon and help Shannon speak about something that she knows is difficult for her to speak about. Because that's what Tamara does. She tries to help people all yeah. the time.
Tamara's a good person. And you know, Shannon could die at any moment. So, like, it's important that they have these talks. So Tamara's like, do you talk about the 7 therapy that you go to?
Yeah, because sometimes this stuff is buried. And so when it comes out, it's just like this whole big, it's just like, Tamara, I know what therapy is. Okay. I went to a trauma facility where I was in therapy for 8 hours a day. 8 hours for 30 days. Do you know what 8 times 30 is? No, neither do I. So I'm well aware that this needs
therapies.
To happen.
I start therapies, Tamara.
Oh my God, sorry, Jesus Christ. Anything I say, anything you just jumped on my throat. I'm not your enemy, okay? I'm not your enemy. I'm just a hot bitch who wants to ask questions about your alcoholic dad.
So immediately she goes inside and she goes,
fuck my life. I'm not even going to try with that bitch anymore, drunk, stupid bitch. Why don't you have another glass of champagne, drunkie?
And Shannon's like, well, for her to explain to me how therapy works, I'm the one who invented therapy in the first place.
So now that it's pretty funny, Tamara trying to explain therapy to Shannon. No one has been to more therapy than Shannon. Like, Shannon lives yeah. for that shit, okay? Tamara, you've been in therapy 5 minutes. You don't get to tell people what therapy is like.
Well, I have to say, I disagree with you, Gina. I disagree. Yeah, I think the statement about her dad, that's like not nice. I think that she's right. I think Shannon's right. Gina's like, what are we going to do with this? What are we going to do with this now? She's like, I don't know. Let me go see what's going on with that monster inside.
So basically, Jen susses out that she's like, Tamara is smart enough to know that she's not going to call Shannon an alcoholic anymore. But what she's going to do is she's going to say, oh, Shannon, your father was an alcoholic, right? And then create a connection to make us be like, so there it is. So you're an alcoholic because it runs in the family.
Yes, basically. And she's right. And Tamara's still going,
have another glass of champagne, Shannon. I mean, is it me or anything I say to her? It's like, I know, I've gone through it.
She's like, okay, but the dad comment, you weren't making a dig?
No, Jesus. She's just worried it's going to make her look like she has a drinking problem because her dad did. You know, I don't think she cares about her dad at all. She only cares about her reputation, which I was trying to ruin by insinuating her dad's drunk so she's drunk too. I mean, what is confusing here, Jen?
I don't know. It's just, it's so confusing, everything. I mean, but these are all necessary steps, Tamara. You're extending an olive branch, so that's what you're doing.
And Tamara's like,
yeah, well, how long do you just expect me to keep on doing it? You can only extend so many branches before the tree falls over, right?
So Gina's like, I think it's, like, really good that you speak up for yourself in the moment, Shannon. Like, that offended you, and it's good that you told her it offended you.
Last time I checked, that's what Shannon always does. I mean... Like, how much footage do we have of someone saying something to Shannon and her having a total meltdown and storming out? This is like,
I mean, this Shannon's weird therapy is. Gina is so annoying. She's like, oh my God, like, I think everybody's like working on it. Shut up, Gina. First of all, now that said, Shannon is making this whole thing miserable. She has made this whole trip miserable. Like, they're at least trying to have fun. And Shannon is like the misery queen, you know? So I know it's probably not easy for like Gina and Jen, especially to be stuck with her, but. this isn't helping. Like,
yeah, like, you guys need to learn boundaries and, like, therapy and, like, possibly not die of kidney disease because I think you're dying. Shannon, Jen, does Shannon look yellow? I think she's yellow. Hey, does anyone have a mirror? Can we put it under Shannon's nose to see if she's still breathing? She's like, I am breathing. I hear you. I don't hear Shannon. I think Shannon died. Shannon, did you pass over? I am right here. I don't see her. Did she disappear? Where's Shannon? Oh, my God. Was she taken to heaven?
I am alive and well because I just ate some cauliflower, some sweet, sweet, sugary cauliflower hash browns.
So now they're all in the kitchen and Gina's just saying, you know, you guys are just navigating. You guys are finding out your new normal. And Tamara's like,
you know, I really was hoping for the best. I had all good intentions. But no matter what I do, no matter how many shitty things I say, Shannon's just going to find fault with me. And I don't think there's anything left for me to do. Oh, apparently you can't call someone's dad an alcoholic anymore.
So Jen is like, Shannon, if it makes you feel any better, she did say the comment about your dad was not a dig. And I asked and I said, it felt like it was a dig. And she said, it wasn't. So then Shannon like sprawls out her arms. She does this move like she's like trying to guard a football player. She's like,
of course she said that. Of course that's what she did. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It's like, Shannon, are you trying to flag down a plane?
Yes, I am. It's a plane called I Don't Give a Fuck Anymore About Tamara Judge. I'm done.
Oh my God. She's moving her arms around like someone with a deadly disease. She's possibly dying right now. I just can't, Shannon. I just can't. So Shannon's like, well, I'm not a dummy. And she's got an excuse and explanation for everything. And I don't believe it anymore. The 26-year-old inside of me doesn't believe it. The 28-year-old certainly doesn't believe it. And I don't believe it.
I mean, these women are literally 61 and 57 years old. And 26 as well on the inside. And they're acting like they're in goddamn middle school. It should be studied. But yes.
And that's the end. That's the end of the episode. A big, rowdy, ridiculous episode. So I guess we'll see what happens next. But obviously, the talk about the singing, Tamara's singing and banging potentially Nelson comes to a head next week at some sort of dinner party. But until then, thanks everyone for being here. We'll be back on Monday with a Real Housewives of Miami recap. And hope you all have a great weekend, and we will catch you on the next one. Bye.
Bye. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto. Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Itchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
She's our kind of mess, it's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a Daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifah.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
G, it's Lisa H.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
Neat, it's Ronit Feldman.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Talif Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.